Hello, Scorpio, and welcome to Cosmophilia. You belong here. Your 2015 reading. I am beginning all of these readings, as you may have heard already, with how we got here in the interest of belonging here. I thought I would take the story back a little ways and, you know, tune into the environment and the recent history, because the past astrology does tend to hang out for a while, and it sets up expectations of what future astrology is going to bring. And there are lots of challenging things that happen in astrology, and as you may know, I try to put the most creative and constructive spin onto things and believe that we can look at the whole scenario from higher ground. There are two fairly recent ways to go back into the kind of point of origin of your life now, and I may find other ways to go back further, though it may not be entirely necessary. First of all, in late 2001, Saturn entered your sign. Saturn in one sign is, or rising sign, equally important. Pretty big deal in astrology. And it's especially a big deal in our culture that struggles as it does with the whole, concept of and reality of maturity. There are some weird things going on around this whole maturity question that I don't really understand, and I don't. I think that there's a lot of things in our culture that are really off their rocker, but the maturity one is a big piece of it. And when Saturn shows up, it is the bottom line of the maturity squad, which is basically saying that whatever you're doing, you must focus and rise to the occasion and make some real decisions and in essence grow up. But it's not a growing up of being someone else. It's not a growing up of aspiring to be that which you are not. Rather, Saturn's presence is growing up to be who you are. It is to bring out the true person you are. And I think a lot of the maturity crisis that our culture faces involves kind of faking it. And when Saturn's involved, there really is no faking it. The decisions that have to be made are real decisions, and the things you have to do and the occasions to which you must rise are real occasions. And to the extent that you engage with the Saturn principle, you can make astounding progress and build for yourself a very solid foundation, and also learn how to engage with the world in ways that are different, that are different for you, and that give you access, that give you a kind of pass, an opening. And that is what Saturn has been doing. Now, when I say the Saturn principle, what I mean is mainly, in a phrase, the internalizing of authority. Now, I know there are some problems with that. Say, for example, from the standpoint of Freudian psychology, it sounds a little like the superego, who is kind of like this father principle that is always telling you where the line is and saying never have fun. And that may be one way that Saturn manifests, and it's certainly a way that's spoken of in textbooks, but I mean it in a more creative and humane way, as a means of Saturn, as a means of becoming your own authority figure. Rather than projecting authority outward, rather than having to have people run your life, rather than having people interfere with you, rather than needing a boss to set boundaries or a partner who is like a parent to set boundaries, rather than needing Mr. Policeman or the court system to set your boundaries for you, Saturn is about setting your own boundaries. You could say that an easy example of the Saturn principle is knowing how to drive in such a way that you don't get tickets. Now, there's no guarantee that you're not going to get a ticket, but it's certainly better to get a ticket with a clean driving record than, you know, with like 6 or 7 points on your license, where that one more ticket is going to result in a suspension or a conditional license or something like this. And to do that, all you have to do is pay attention to the speed limit. And everyone knows you can push that a little bit, 4, 5, 6, 7 miles an hour. Heck, on some roads out in Iowa, you can just cruise along at 90 because there's no cops. And if you know that, then you're fine. When you start having to respond to lots of tickets, then you know that you are not following the Saturn principle of internalizing the adherence to the rules of the road. And just because you're doing that doesn't mean that you get to have less fun. In fact, if you have a license, you can drive places. You can have more fun. And if you drive sober, you're less likely to hurt someone, and it's all groovy. And the reason it's groovy is because you've internalized the Saturn principle. And this goes all throughout life. You get to work on time, you are in better standing with your employer, and you are perceived as someone who has some self-discipline. Others recognize this. It's almost like a language that we speak. And so in many different ways, Saturn has imposed itself on you and then given you the chance to internalize everything that Saturn represents. In Scorpio, there is a stability factor that comes with Saturn in particular, because Scorpio is a water sign, and water is difficult to keep steady. And there is a factor of accessing the aspect of Scorpio that is more magnanimous than most of the descriptions in astrology textbooks say. The Saturn principle applied to Scorpio would bring out the person who is inherently respectful of yourself and of others, including of the freedom of others. And it is a kind of a grand lesson in showing up with your adult self. Now, on the way to doing that, of course, there are lots of opportunities to bring out your parental self, and the parental self can stir up the child self, and the child self can start to revolt and rebel, and then at a certain point, the adult or core self has to take over, and there's your Saturn principle at work. So this has been going on for 2 years, and what is about to happen, by the time you're hearing this, it will have happened. I believe that's on 12/23/14. Saturn leaves your sign, and it goes into Sagittarius. It retrogrades back in to Scorpio at a certain point, I think in the spring, and then it will remain in your sign through September 15th, and then we'll enter Sagittarius to stay. So there's a trial phase coming up of Saturn changing signs, and that's going to influence everyone in some way, and it should be an interesting experience of that. And then there's what I'm thinking of as a closure phase or a completion phase of Saturn re-entering Scorpio after the experiment of Saturn in Sagittarius, and kind of giving you a chance to tidy things up and get clear with yourself about, you know, what you need to do prior to moving on to this next phase of your life, that being the phase of Saturn in Sagittarius. And I have more to say about that in a moment, because it really is one of the most important transits of this next time in your life. So Saturn continues to be a powerful influence, but it will be so in a very different way than being in your sign. And in my experience, the sign change of Saturn is one of the most palpable transits. You can feel it very often on the day that it happens. Now, that happens every now and then. You know, Uranus changing signs, that doesn't happen that often, but boy, you can feel that. Pluto changing signs is palpable, and it's kind of crazy when you think that really all we're really doing is measuring degrees of the zodiac. But that is the nature of what we are doing with astrology. One more really meaningful point of background that leads into the current story in a big way. Through early 2014, Mars, the planet that is the traditional ruler of Scorpio, spent a lot of time in Libra, spent about, if I recall correctly, about 8.5 months in Libra. And the reason it spent so long in one sign, almost a year, even though its orbit is only 2 years around the sun, is because Saturn has a very long retrograde. It doesn't happen very often, but it takes a while. And in addition to that retrograde, long on the standard of an inner planet, by the way, and along with that, it stays in one region of the zodiac for a long time because the speed of the Earth and the speed of the Sun are very similar, and so they're kind of tracking each other. And Mars remained visible in Libra for 8.5 months, and for a chunk of that was retrograde. Now, the importance of this to you is that Libra is your 12th house. The 12th house is the house right before your sign. I use the words houses and signs interchangeably. Signs get names, houses get numbers, and in the type of astrology that we're doing here, they are overlaid on one another, and that's what creates the uniqueness and the distinction of the entire zodiac for each sign. So Scorpio is your first house. If you're a Scorpio sun, I call it the first solar house. And if you are Scorpio rising, then Scorpio is your ascendant. And using the whole sign houses system, an old system, the oldest, in fact, Libra is your 12th house. And the 12th is a very sensitive place. Sensitive for all signs, sensitive for everyone, and especially sensitive to transits of Mars in Libra, because Libra is ruled by Venus, the planet that's opposite Mars, and it's also in your 12th house. The 12th house is this hidden world. It is potentially a world that's familiar to you, useful to you, possibly beautiful, and it is like a world apart. It's a parallel reality, almost like a large room next to the room you're in, where from time to time your attention can permeate the wall and visit that room, even though it's a separate place, and there's no logical reason for your mind to be able to go there, but it does, and the times and places when it does that tend to be various altered consciousness states. Those can include dreaming, daydreaming, alcohol, drugs. There's a lot of different, you know, ways to get into the 12th house, art, cinema. By drugs, I mean more of the hallucinogenic kind of drugs, not the strictly stimulant or sedative type of drugs. Those tend to close off the 12th house. but more things like cannabis or hallucinogens like LSD or mushrooms. Cinema is a way to get into the 12th house because it creates a world apart, and the physical metaphor of cinema is very similar to the location of the 12th house in a chart. And then there is good old-fashioned sex. And sex is a way of getting into the 12th house because, first of all, it is an experience that takes place in a kind of a separate reality, and it is often very driven by fantasy, and then it also has that way of kind of, once it's over, seeming like it was something that you dreamed. Even though you bear physical, you know, marks from it, you know, you smell different and you feel different and your clothes might be rumpled up and your hair needs to be straightened out a little bit, still, the memory of it can be very dreamlike. And Vedic astrology, the astrology practiced in India and other places, is keen on this idea that the 12th house is the house of pleasures of the bed. And I learned that first. And then I had to figure out how that is. And it became clear that the 12th house is, has a lot in common with the dream experience of sexuality. The 12th also functions as a kind of a karmic delta. Everything that's not addressed flows into the delta. The river of the entire zodiac, the river of night, flows into the 12th house. And it is one reason why the Brits refer to the 12th as the dustbin of the zodiac, because it is where all the karma goes. This leads up to Mars retrograde in Libra in the 12th house. That is an experience that spanned much of 2014. Mars entered Libra in late in the year, I think around December 4th or something. Hard to believe it was that long ago. It feels so recently. And then it remained in Libra through the midsummer and stirred up a lot. Brought up a lot of stuff and may have left you feeling rather insecure. And this was a kind of a purging process. There's also an element of a kind of a spiritual test to it. I'm not keen on that idea so much, but it does have a bit of that feeling. And certainly that would be a healthy way to, you know, respond to what happened and to consider what happened. And that, you know, is a story that you know and that I don't know. And in case you're wondering why things got so weird for a period of time last year, it may have been just during the retrograde, it may have been during key points of the retrograde, the astrological answer might be Mars retrograde in your 12th house. Then at a certain point, Mars kind of pierced that imaginary veil and entered your sign, and it was as if you found yourself again after having somehow, strangely, mysteriously, lost yourself previously. That is one quality of the 12th house, of the house of lost objects and people and experiences. Okay, so that happened, and then Mars came along in Scorpio, moved through Scorpio, joined up with Saturn, kept going, potentially very powerful experience there. And this all leaves you where you are today, right at the very end of Saturn in Scorpio, this trial period about to happen, the cleanup phase about to happen, and then Saturn entering your second house for two more years. The second house in your chart being Sagittarius. Okay, so this is really where we pick up the story of 2015. In many ways, it is kind of a story of the 12th and the second houses once again, because now that Mars has left the 12th, there is a kind of astonishing collection of minor planets that has gathered in the 12th house. Just to give you an example, on the day that the sun enters your 12th house, the day the sun enters Libra, the autumn equinox, often a profound time of year for you, the month leading up to your birthday, there'll be 24 planets, points, asteroids, centaurs, trans-Neptunian objects, the galaxy M87, and a bunch of other things in your 12th. And so this is suggesting that you are traveling with a full load of karmic cargo. That is not the thing that it's sometimes made out to be. We are all on this planet with lots of karma to work out. What you have is lots of karma to work with. And if you are any type of a psychological explorer, if you are even a little bit of a mystic, if you are someone who appreciates meaningful sexual experiences, perhaps for their own sake, perhaps as a form of creative expression and as a form of personal experimentation, this alignment of planets in the 12th house is really quite a beautiful thing. The challenge is that you may feel as if you are under pressure. And the sensation of being under pressure is likely to be looking for a vent of some kind. And often that vent in humans, Western humans, is projection. And so it remains vital that you stay in contact with what you learned in the era of Mars retrograde in Libra, and even an earlier time from about 2010 to 2012 of Saturn in your 12th house. There may be some very valuable information coming out of the previous Saturn transit, which was through your 12th house, where another layer of the foundation of the life that you're living on may have been established, which is really the need, acknowledging the need to have your own life. And this is true no matter how deep of a partnership you may be in or partnership you may not be in, but the need to be independent and to live in harmony with yourself, to coexist with yourself in a way that is peaceful and where there is some real understanding. This is the nature of Saturn in the 12th house. And I suggest you dial back that era, again, approximately 2010, 11, and 12, starting kind of in mid-2010 there. And remember all of the very important things that you learned. Now, the collection of energies in this 12th is looking for needing, no option on that, a mode of creative expression. And by creative, I mean constructive, pleasurable, and something other than harmful. Experimental counts, a little bit unusual counts, creative, sexual, artistic, spiritual, all count. Here's where that shows up. It shows up in Pisces. It shows up in your fifth solar house or fifth whole sign house if you are Scorpio rising. And Pisces right now is the scene of a small but very useful collection of planets that are gathering there. The main ones include Neptune, a relatively recent arrival, Chiron, which showed up around 2010, Borsisi. This is a strange and beautiful little world. It's orbiting the sun in about a 300-year orbit and then Nessus, which made a brief visit in 2014 into Pisces after being in Aquarius for some years, about 10 years. And it is reaching the far side of its orbit, and it is going to be in Pisces, if I recall correctly, for about 20 years. Here's what that all adds up to. It adds up to an access point to the 12th house that is a little like giving your pen a point to write with, or a direct output device of some kind, not to use computers too much as a metaphor for humans here, but the 12th house in of itself is a difficult house to get a grasp on. Part of the reason for that is it's hard to get in there, and not everyone believes it exists, and not everyone likes the fact that they dream at night, and dreams are a controversial subject because, as real as they seem, science tells us that they are merely brain activity, but the realm of mystics tells us that they may very well be a form of journeying, astral travel, or existing in a parallel reality, but there's no way to prove that. Drugs have their problems because we don't want to be dependent on them, although there are certainly we're capable of having profound experiences on substances. Almost everyone in this era has. Some people haven't, but almost everyone has. And many people are seeking out things like ayahuasca, which has become a kind of a social movement where people know they have to get access into that karmic region. And the way that's being done quite frequently is through ayahuasca journeying, which grant access to the 12th house. The other way to get into the 12th house, the more, you know, dependable, ordinary way, is through things like art, photography, and music. You do things. You express yourself. You make contact with the deeper layers of your being. And Pisces, being the 12th sign, has some natural resonance with the 12th house. And a lot of our definitions of the 12th house and of Pisces do seem to be interchangeable. And this goes back quite a ways in astrology, where, you know, when you read a modern interpretation of either Pisces or the 12th, and you can feel like you're reading an ancient interpretation of either Pisces or the 12th. There are exceptions to this, and there are some important exceptions to it, but that's pretty much the story. So you have this access point because you have these planets moving through Pisces. And Pisces in your chart is the fifth sign from your sign, hence it's the fifth house, and it has that association with art and experimentation and some risk-taking, and most importantly, with pleasure. And so one of the ways that you know that you are in the fifth house is because you're having fun. There's no house in the zodiac that says fun like the fifth. And if there is one that comes close, it's the one opposite the fifth. That would be the 11th house, which in your case is Virgo, which is not necessarily as much fun as Pisces, because Pisces really does like to indulge itself and have fun, even if it's doing things like working late at night. Pisces wants to have fun working, no matter when. So you know you're in the fifth house because you're having a good time. And it's kind of fun to say this, the antithesis to all of this activity in the 12th house, the way to work with it, the way to express it, is not, in my opinion, therapy, but more like getting a camera or paints or an easel, or whatever it is that you feel drawn to. And I would suggest experimenting with ways to have fun that you know are tried and true for you, and ways to have fun that you've always wanted to experiment with, no matter how old you are. I started taking guitar lessons at age 47. I know someone who is in his early 70s who began taking piano lessons at age 57. He knew all of his life that he wanted to play piano. And I have to say, it's admirable for someone to embark on something that difficult, that far away from childhood, right? And most people whine about piano lessons as when they're kids, but you're grateful as an adult, hopefully, when you can do it. But if you've never had that benefit, and what I'm saying here is that it's, no matter what your age is, it is still worth doing what you want to do. And, you know, be prepared for it to be a bit challenging, and therefore be prepared to apply your adult maturity into a process of it, and perhaps to apply your adult resources into proper study and lessons. But the thing is that the fifth house, where you will find the pressure vent that you need, is about doing the things that you were drawn to because they're fun. Another quality of the fifth house is that there is a risk involved. It does not have to be a big risk. It does not have to be base jumping or doing that thing where you put on the flying suit and jump off a cliff and fly around like a seagull or a buzzard or something that depends on air currents, but you know, that kind of thing, that's fifth housey too. But you don't need to do that if you don't want to. I mean, you may decide you're going to do something like that, maybe go skiing or something. And that is a quality of the fifth house. So remember those two main qualities, fun and a sense of risk. With Pisces there, there's going to be some resonance with music, with visual art, with photography, with cinema in some way. And this is, I think, of all the transits that you're having, of all of the things I can say to you that will help you find your true self and your true experience and connect with your love of life, to make sure that you are on some mode, that it's accessible, and that you give yourself time to do it, perhaps every day, of creative, slightly daring, pleasurable, creative fun. Now, the grouping of planets here are all planets of a spiritual nature. This is the thing. And so it is a kind of a side door into accelerated spiritual growth. You are using things that are available resources. And this really is the beauty of astrology, is that it is kind of like a resources guide, and it can say, well, there's some extra energy here, and then there's some resources there that you can sort of tap into to siphon off some of that extra energy, which solves one problem and then solves a second problem by giving you a mode of creation. And remember this if you are ever feeling anxious, fearful. These 12th house transits you've been through, particularly Mars retrograde, really may have stirred up a lot of fear. That is the nature of the 12th house. And then when we add to that lots of extra new little points that are showing up in that house, you know, anxiety may be one expression of that. And so if you find yourself worried, challenging though it may be to be worried and then break out the paints and unwrap a little canvas and just sort of hang out at 3 a.m. painting, you may find it to be exceptionally therapeutic and, you know, guiding of you onto another way of life, another approach to existence. And as you do this, you're going to tap these rather profound energies of Chiron, of Borsisi, of Neptune. Not that easy to grasp, but Chiron's helping. And then finally of Nessus, the newest arrival in Pisces. And in the water signs, and Nessus is saying, this is your gig. Ultimately, you are responsible for your creative energy. And with Nessus, there's a little bit of caution how, you know, what energy exists and is not used creatively can easily be kind of converted to a darker form. And so by keeping your energy moving and by remaining on a path of active creative experimentation, you are also working to kind of like pre-detoxify anything that might, you know, eventually turn a negative. It's already been expressed. It's not going to be able to turn negative. Okay, so there's more to say about this fifth house thing. I really think this is the heart of the matter for Scorpio, though there are lots of other houses that are active. In particular, I think that the Uranus Pluto square, well worth another look. I've been looking at this one for years. It's worth going back to the Mars effect and to listen to hear what I was saying about it then. My views change as the years go on, and as the transits on paper that we can see coming translate into direct experience. And so this is an evolving and developing story. And then there's other bits and bobs going on as well. But I've gone long enough for this segment, and I am going to take a little break and be back with you in a digital instant. Bye for now.